So, go back to 1936, September, first Friday. In the evening, I saw the Mother of God with her breast bared in peace with the sword. She was shedding bitter tears and shielding us against God's terrible punishment. She take our place for the punishment. God wants to inflict terrible punishment on us, but He cannot, because the Mother of God is shielding us, protecting us. Horrible fear seized my soul. I kept praying incessantly for Poland, for my dear Poland, which is so lacking in gratitude for the Mother of God. If it were not for the Mother of God, all our efforts would be of little use. Intensified my prayers and sacrifices for our dear native land, but I see that I am a drop before the wave of evil. How can a drop stop a wave? Oh yes, a drop is nothing of itself, but with you, Jesus, I shall stand up bravely to the whole wave of evil and even to the whole of hell. Your omnipotence can do all things. This is trust. Once, as I was going down the hall to the kitchen, I heard these words in my soul. Say unceasingly the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he were to recite this chaplet only once, he will receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire that the whole world know my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Jesus, life and truth, my Master, guide every step of my life that I may act according to your holy will. On one occasion, I saw the throne of the Lamb of God, and before the throne, three saints, Stanislaus Kostka, Andrew Bobola, and Prince Casimir, who were interceding for Poland. All at once, I saw a large book which stand before the throne. It was given to me to read. The book was written in blood. Still, I could not read anything but the name, Jesus. Then I heard a voice which said to me, "Your hour has not yet come." Then the book was taken away from me, and I heard these words, "You will bear witness to my infinite mercy. In this book are written the names of the souls that have glorified my mercy." I was overwhelmed with joy at the sight of such great goodness of God. On one occasion, I came to know of the condition of two religious sisters who were grumbling in theory about an order the superior had given them. And for this reason, God had withheld many special graces from them. So even the grudges all lessen the grace. So try not to complain so much, but to praise the Lord. Always complain. God cannot come close to us. My heart age and at this sight. How sad it is, O Lord, when we ourselves are the cause of the loss of graces. God give you, when you don't like, you just complain. Negative. The grace cannot enter. Depart. Whoever understands this is always faithful. Thursday, although I was very tired today, I nevertheless resolved to make a holy hour. I could not pray, but could I remain kneeling? But I remained in prayer for a while, for a whole hour. I united myself in spirit with those souls who are already worshipping God in the perfect way. But towards the end of the hour, I suddenly saw Jesus, who looked at me penetratingly and said with ineffable sweetness, "Your prayer is extremely pleasing to me." She's so tired, she doesn't want, but just make an effort to stay 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament. That's for them, it's a holy hour. Can't say any prayers, too tired. She was very weak. She has tuberculosis, so it's very weak, can't breathe much. After these words, an unusual power and spiritual joy entered my soul. God's presence continued to pervade my soul. What happens to a soul that meets the Lord face to face? No pain has ever expressed or ever will express. O Jesus, I understand that your mercy is beyond all imagining, and therefore I ask you to make my heart so big there will be room in it for the needs of all the souls living on the face of the earth. So I'll try to pray for all sinners. O Jesus, my love extends beyond the world to the souls suffering in purgatory, and I want to exercise mercy towards them by means of indulgence prayers. God's mercy is unfathomable and inexhaustible, just as God Himself is unfathomable. Even if I were to use the strongest words they are to express this mercy of God, all this would be nothing in comparison with what is in reality. O Jesus, make my heart sensitive to all the sufferings of my neighbor. Not myself, eh? You have the heart for people. Not just, I'm okay. Not yet. If your neighbor is not okay, the place where you work, the people are not okay yet, don't tell yourself, I'm okay. Pray for them. You act toward us as we act towards our neighbor. So Jesus unconditionally look at us. And why can't we unconditionally look at our neighbor? My Jesus, make my heart like unto your merciful heart. Jesus, help me to go through life doing good to everyone. September 14, 1936. The Archbishop of Vilnius visited us. Although he stayed with us for a very short time, I still had a chance to talk with this worthy priest about the work of mercy. He showed himself very favorably disposed to this cause of mercy. Sister, be completely at peace. If this is within the plans of divine providence, it will come about. In the meantime, sister, pray for a clearer outward sign. Let the Lord Jesus give you a clearer notice of this. I beg you to wait a little while longer. She is very anxious, eager to celebrate the feast of divine mercy. But the bishop is, "Take time, my sister, don't worry. If it's God's will, it will come.
Don't worry.
The Lord Jesus will arrange the circumstances in such a way that everything will turn out all right. That's the word of the bishop. September 19, 1936, when we left the doctor's office and stepped into the sanatorium chapel for a moment, I heard these words in my soul. My child, just a few more drops in your chalice. It won't be long now. Joy filled to my soul. This was the first call from my beloved spouse and master. My heart melted, and there was a moment when my soul was immersed in the whole sea of God's mercy. I felt that the mission was beginning in all its fullness. Death destroys nothing that is good. I pray most of all for souls that are experiencing inner suffering. Once I received light concerning two sisters. I understood that it is not possible for a person to act the same manner toward everyone. There are some people who have a strange way of making friends with others. And then, as friends, and under the pretext of that friendship, they manage to draw the person out, word by word. Then, when the right moment comes, they use those very same words to hurt that person. They are persons in this world. They are sisters, religious sisters, using the words of the other so patiently, take all your words and then keep it as encyclopedia and then revert towards you, using all your words and speak evil against you. My Jesus, how strange is human frailty. Your love, Jesus, give the soul this great prudence in its dealings with others. They use in a bad way. They use a friendship as a method against themselves. September 24, 1936. Mother Superior ordered me to say one decade of the rosary in place of all the other exercises. So maybe she's really weak. Just take it. It's good enough. Don't have to say the whole rosary. And to go to bed at once. Maybe she's kneeling the whole night, praying. So this is in order. As soon as I lay down, I fell asleep, for I was very tired. But a while later, I was awakened by suffering. By the way, our deacon is the last moment of his life. He's really suffering these days. He cannot take any medicine, even water. Now he's at the end. His suffering is painful. It is mafia to keep him not so painful. But a while later, I was awakened by suffering. It was such a great suffering that it prevented me from making even the slightest movement. Can't move. Even one movement. It's pain. I could not even swallow my saliva. I think this is the expression explain how Deacon Song is suffering these days, these 2 days. This lasted for about 3 hours. I thought of waking up the novice, my sister, who shared my room, but then I thought, she cannot give me any help, so let her sleep. Even if she give a drop of water, she cannot drink. Why you wake her up, you know, just leave her alone, sleep. It would be a pity to wake her. I resigned myself completely to the will of God and thought that the day of my death, so much desired, had come. The feeling of death. It was an occasion for me to unite myself with Jesus, suffering on the cross. Beyond that, I was unable to pray. That's a darkness of soul. That's Jesus on the cross, crying, God, God, why have you forsaken me? So if he felt no intimacy with God the Father, if God the Father is away. When the suffering ceased, the back began to perspire, but I still could not move, as the pain will return at each moment. And in the morning, I felt very tired, though I felt no further physical pain. No pain, but tired. Still, I could not get up to attend Mass. I thought to myself, if after such a suffering, death does not come, then how great the sufferings of Jesus of death must be. It's not yet death. So sure, how much to go through? That's, you know, so you can imagine she's experiencing death that very moment. Jesus, you know that I love suffering and want to drain up the cup of suffering to the last drop. And yet, my nature experienced a slight shudder and fear. So, in her mind, she's saying, tell Jesus, I love to embrace and all the chatters I can drain. But then the moment comes, she explains, I'm really, I can't take it. It's terrible, huh? Quickly, however, my trust in the infinite mercy of God was awakened in all its force, and everything else had to give way before it, like shadow retreating before the sun's ray. Only the grace comes in, then she feels the strength to continue to suffer. Otherwise, she feels so weak, just want to the moment of death. Oh Jesus, how great is your goodness, your infinite goodness, so well known to me, enable me to bravely look death itself in the eye. Let experience what is death. I know that nothing will happen to me without God's permission. I decide to glorify your infinite mercy during my life, in the hour of death, in the resurrection, and throughout eternity. Always praise the Lord. Joyful time, painful time, dying time, praise the Lord. Only way. My Jesus, my strength, my peace, my repose, my soul bathes daily in the rays of your mercy. So only just look at the mercy of Jesus. Humanly speaking, she is so weakened. There is not a moment in my life when I do not experience your mercy. Oh God. So although she experienced so much suffering, she still praised the Lord that she experienced so much joy, the love, the mercy of God. I count on nothing in my whole life, but only on your infinite mercy. It is the guiding thread of my life, oh Lord. My soul is filled with God's mercy. Oh, how sorely Jesus is hurt by the ingratitude of his chosen soul. What a martyrdom it is for his unspeakable love. God loves us with the entire infinite being that he is. And imagine, a miserable particle of dust scorns that love. My heart bursts with pain when I see this ingratitude. We are dust. We are so proud of ourselves. And Jesus, God, just come down to us. On one occasion, I heard these words. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I decided the feast of mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I poured out a whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flow are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be scarlet. But mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. When we're in heaven, we just meditate, appreciate the love, the mercy of God forever and ever. The feast of mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy. So now we are praying for peace in Middle East, in where? The front night of Russia, you know, what's the country?
Ukraine,
you see, now they so strong. The Russian army just goes through the border, despite the guards, you just go in. This is without look at the mercy of God, we will not have peace. Once, when I was very tired and in much pain, I told Mother Superior about it and received the answer that I should get used to suffering. Oh, no consolation. You used to it. You are okay. Just go ahead. I listened to everything that Mother told me, and then I went out. No consolation. That's no good for you. No problem. You go ahead. Not the superior. My goodness. No consolation. Our Mother Superior has great love of labor, and especially great love for the sick sisters, as everyone knows. And yet, as regards me, it is extraordinary that the Lord Jesus has permitted that she has not understand me, that she tests me much in this respect. I think she has some doubt about her pain. You know, she looks so pale, and then it's okay. Go ahead, don't worry. On this particular day, when I was feeling so bad and still went to work, every now and then I would feel sick. It was very hot that even without working, a person felt terrible. Not to mention what it was like when one had to work while suffering. So before noon, I straightened up from my work, looked up to the sky, and great trust, and said to the Lord, Jesus, cover the sun, for I cannot stand this heat any longer. And, oh wonder, at that very moment, a white cloud covered the sun, and from then on, the heat became less intense. He can, with faith, can move the mountain into the sea. He moved the cloud to cover the sun. When a little while later, I began to reproach myself that I did not bear the heat, but begged for relief. Jesus himself put me at ease. So she was also complaining herself, how can I ask the sun to cover up the sun to ease my pain? August 13, 1936. Today, God's presence is pervading me, and in an instant, I come to know the great holiness of God. Oh, how the greatness of God overwhelms me. I then come to know the whole depths of my nothingness. This is a great torment, for this knowledge is followed by love. The soul bounds forward we have went thee toward God, and the two loves come face to face, the Creator and the creature. So God is love. If we become love, so that's true unity. One little drop seeks to measure itself with the ocean. At first, the little drop wants to enclose the infinite ocean within itself, but at the same moment, it knows itself to be just one small drop, and thus it is vanquished, and it passes completely into God's light drop into the ocean. At this moment is torment, but so sweet that on experiencing it, the soul is happy. So what is she says, we are so little, just one drop of water into the ocean. God is the ocean. Even just one drop, when you into the ocean, you're part of the ocean. You share the divinity of Jesus. That's a miracle of the Blessed Sacrament. When we receive the Blessed Sacrament, receive His body, receive His blood, we're transformed. His nature becomes our nature. We share His divine nature. We are divinized into Him. When we died, when our body becomes the food of the world, we become the Eucharist for the universe. Because our body is consecrated by the Eucharist. When we go back to the earth, become the food of the nature, giving food for the grass, for the flowers, we become the food for them. We become the Eucharist for the universe. Is it beautiful? God's salvation not only through humanity going through all the nature. God's grace. Love is unimaginable. We can imagine God is so loved so much. God is love. He wants each one of us to be love. Just love. Purity of love. Purity of intention. Purity of doing God's will. That's the word of Blessed Virgin Mary, you know. Nothing else but the will of God. Last week, the focus is on the will of God. Nothing else for His glory, just doing the will of God. And today, she you can see her suffering so much. Without consolation, that's a problem. At least, for example, you're a kid, when you go to your mother, your father, when you have pain or you fall down, of course you'll seek consolation for the mother. Okay, no, I gotta wash it and take it. But then the mother might tell you, well, said, okay, no problem, go ahead. You come for consolation. That's the same. No, Sister Faustina went to the superior, a kind of consolation, no? So we can sort of work. What's the problem? That's a superior. So she went out. My goodness. That's. Don't look for consolation. Just seek to be one with the Lord, with Jesus. We are so fortunate to have a chance to receive Holy Sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist. So hold it. Hold to it, the Blessed Sacrament, the whole week until next week you come back. Always stay with Jesus. You will be the living tabernacle of the Blessed Sacrament. That's, we have to learn to live moment by moment in Him. There's fullness of grace for each one of us.